Thanks, Dan. Thank you for the beautiful music today. Wow, Judy, the piano sounds good. I want to remind us of what we're doing here over the last months. The last month, actually, this is week four of the Lenten season. And we've been kind of traveling on this journey of thinking, of repenting. I'm not gonna preach a hellfire and brimstone sermon here, because I'm not sure that helps anybody get in touch with the God of love. But repent is a call that Jesus repeatedly asks us to do as he's walking on that last road to Jerusalem. And that word repent is not popular today. Repent, we said last week, actually is defined as starting over. So when Jesus says, he says it twice in this passage. When he says repent, and when he says there's rejoicing in heaven over repentance, he's really talking about starting over. If you look in your bulletin today, we have three questions in the sermon notes. We'll be talking a little bit about that during Discovery Hour, but as Ray paints today, I'd like you to think about the word in question number one, risk. And I'd like you to think about the word in question number two, agape. And I'd like you to think about the word in question number three, celebrate. So we're gonna be doing that a little bit today. Ray has been painting. What do you think? We're all art critics here, aren't we? What do you think? I like it. And the cool thing is, it kind of just appears here while I'm spreading hot air. So if you don't like hot air, watch what Ray's doing. What do you think that is? What does that remind you of? What do you think? A tree. Thank you. We have the logical, thoughtful person here, the thoughtful art critic. And if it's a tree, what kind of a tree is it? It's what? It's a fig tree. Last week we talked about the fig tree. Absolutely. One of those weird things in the Mideast. And I bet this tree is going to be a spring tree, right, Ray? Is there going to be something else happening on this tree today? Okay, I'm here. It's all good. Art in the life of the church. How fun is that? My hope is we get it done by Easter so we can hang it. We can hang it right here for Easter. How's that? Great. Well, as you heard, I will not be with you. I regret next week, but Pastor Karen will be here. She'll be bringing us a message, getting us ready for Palm Sunday. So I'm looking forward to hearing about that. We journey Lent this year to the Easter resurrection, listening anew to parables of Jesus. And you know what a parable is. We've talked about it. Christ used parables for a reason. He used parables to teach agape love. That's a love so different from the love that we see on TV and in the movies, and what we many times recognize in this culture. The unloving people that Jesus lived with actually were busy, distracted, fearful. Many of them were in pain. Many of them were physically unwell. They were kind of like us. It actually sounds like me sometimes. And so Jesus, to kind of counteract the very human nature that we have, told simple everyday parables that we could walk through in our distractions. Parables are everyday lessons taken right out of the secular world, and they invite us to glimpse the sacred. They bring us closer to the sacred. So today's parable is actually two in one. There are both male and female perspectives. I don't know about you, but I've read through this one most of my life, and I kind of like it, and I never really thought about it much. I took it at face value. Let's try not to do that today. The first parable, the first one is this poor man. It's a man, and the man is working in the open country. He's a shepherd. And as you may know, historically, shepherds in Nazareth were considered the lowest of the low. They were the folks that nobody else wanted to talk to. You see, their job was caring for other people's wealth. Yes, they lived hard, solitary, lonely lives. And if a shepherd lost a single animal, by law, they could be enslaved until they paid back the cost. Which, by the way, if you were a shepherd, is impossible. They had no way to pay back a lost sheep. So the story, you see, begins to take on new meaning, doesn't it? There's some risk there, being a shepherd. And the second parable, check it out again. The second parable is a woman, a single woman living a lonely, solitary life. And if you know anything about Palestine, even today, but more so in Jesus' time, a single woman in Palestine was doomed to a life of poverty. No supports. This woman, all of her riches in the world came down to 10 silver coins. And I checked out how much that would be in today's money. It was about $300. That was all she had in the world. Listen in on the cost to be lost. But first, a little story of life and death. It's a true story about being lost. And my college friend John, I may have talked about him before. John is an outdoorsman. He spent his life in the open country. He got a job out of college working for the Forest Service, and that's all he did the rest of his life. He raised three children in rural Montana and Colorado. And so, being an outdoorsman, one day he and his grown son Mike went out on a father-son adventure. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? They climbed a spectacular 13,000-foot peak in the San Juan Wilderness area over in western Colorado. It was supposed to be a 15-hour journey, you see, just the two of them against nature, back on the trail again like they used to do. Starting at 5 a.m., they made the ascent. faster than expected. It was a beautiful but grueling trip, and they were exhausted when they got to the summit. But Mike, being young, he jumped up. He's impatient to get back to civilization. John, my friend, was in his glory. He was in the Alpine tundra. It was spectacular. It was a remarkable day. Against his father's advice, against his loving father's advice, Mike took off, taking a shortcut. "Let's meet at the car," he said over his shoulder. 4 hours later, John waited alone. He hadn't seen Mike on the trail. There was no trace of him anywhere. And at sundown, John called search and rescue out of Telluride. It took him a while to get there. His only son was lost. Imagine the dread of a parent waiting, losing the one they love, vanished without a trace. Actually, it's my worst fear as a dad and as a granddad. I can't imagine losing a precious child. What would you do? John, beside himself now, he meets the search team as night fell. They divided and they scoured the creek drainage that they'd been climbing through. Nothing. And they called off the search at midnight. When cold dawn came, the sound of a rescue helicopter appeared, coming up through the valley, joining the hunt. And by midday, 6 miles off the trail, there's Mike, spotted, huddled under a tree. The cost to be lost was tens of thousands of dollars, but nobody was counting. Those 18 searchers cheered until they cried. Jesus still calls to us. He says simply to us, sometime in our life, we should expect to be lost. We should expect to be exposed and lonely in the open sometimes in our lives. And we should expect to pay a cost. Worry, doubt, searching aimlessly, even losing our faith is the steep cost. And I have to remind myself, finding faith is what life is about. So not to fear. There is salvation in the darkness. There's salvation in our loss and in our doubts, in our daily walk. There is a good shepherd who will risk the loss of 99 other sheep to find us. Now, isn't that foolish? Just a little bit foolish. Gambling on a search for one, even if the 99 others might wander away, doesn't make sense, does it? I never thought of that before reading this. Why would the shepherd leave the 99? And how about the woman? This woman searching desperately for one lost coin. Why worry? She has 9 more. Yet she leaves the 9 coins on the table and she turns the rest of the house upside down to find the one. Jesus uses pretty careful language in this passage. If you read it, I'd encourage you to read it again. He says, in both parables, both of them are linked together by these words, "And when they were found, they rejoiced. They went out to their friends and their neighbors in joy." So what are these two parables all about? Why would Jesus, the shepherd, leave 99 souls to find a single lost one? And isn't it odd that Jesus, the poor woman, would leave 9 to search for one? Christ says it simply. The 99 were righteous. The one was lost. Now I don't like this parable so much. Wait a minute. So what is our reward for being righteous if only the lost one gets saved? That's not right, is it? Well, here's the deal. We're all lost. Everyone, every one of us is lost. Yes, even the righteous get lost sometimes. And so, if you have ever spent a day in the open country watching a shepherd, they're still out there, up above Walcott, off of I-70, they're still out there. If you've ever watched a shepherd and the sheep, there's always one or two in the herd that are wandering off. It's the way of the shepherd. It's the way of the sheep. And so the shepherd's work is never done. And what about our coins, the ones we carry with us so closely? Aren't we always losing money anyway? Aren't we spending money impulsively, or aren't coins always falling out of our purses? It's not the point of either of these parables. The real story in this parable is joy. It's joy. The fact is, the cost to be lost is really the shared celebration. When we're found, soulful, safe and sound, our friends, our neighbors, the ones that love us, rejoice. That's the story of new community. That's the story of relationship. That's how community grows the branches of agape love. Agape love reaches out branches to embrace every lost soul. What an abundant, hopeful tree of life that becomes. So today, my prayer for you, for this week, just this week, I pray you find a soul lost. Perhaps when you do that, you might even find a lost piece of your own goodness. Something deep inside renews. Or perhaps you might find someone near to you lost. Maybe it's even a stranger that you randomly run across. It will be a profound event That's what Jesus is telling us. It's going to be good. There's a celebration of joy when you meet a soul that may be in doubt or in loss. And by the way, the payback is it gives life and even joy to us. It's renewal. Because, let's face it, folks, we all do it. When we lose our own souls for a moment, or for a day, or for a year, when there's those dark times, and when we find it, there is rejoicing in heaven and in earth when the lost is found. And the cost of the lost found, it's celebration. It's a feast between friends and neighbors. May that joy be yours this week. Hallelujah and amen.